Neil Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Brian Amola is with us. He's managing partner at Chicago Crypto Capital. And there's a couple things in the cryptocurrency world. You know, Brian, we've obviously talking about this for the last number of years. As this became hot, our own Kevin Powell decided to take his entire life fortune and put it into Bitcoin at 19,000. Didn't work for him.
Had a good
quite
run.
As well. Yeah, that 19,000 had a good run. So I think people got a little bit, and there was so much talk about Bitcoin than some of the other coins that were coming onto the market, and that they were going to surge. And like almost every other currency like that, or any other, you know, whatever economic device that you could be using here, things go up and they go down. So the bubble came, you know, sort of the air came out of the balloon a little bit there. Where is the crypto market now?
Now, the crypto market right now has been creeping up recently, but it seems to be following more of the ecosystem now than the mass hysteria, like your friend probably bought 19,000. Yeah. The shoeshine boy told me this.
Yes.
And then I got this.
Right.
Now we're seeing a lot of rollout. Microsoft has a partnership here, or perhaps Ripple with a partnership with MoneyGram. So we're seeing a lot more market, like actual substance behind some of the price action. Of course, a lot of these, you know, coins that were to do everything underneath the sun, some of those are never coming back. But
Potcoin.
Potcoin.
Yeah, wasn't that Dennis Rodman's? He was wearing that shirt when he went to go meet with Kim Jong-un, which made the whole thing seem really like a farce.
And really? And then somehow it ended up becoming national policy?
Yeah, somehow.
Let's not even go down that road.
That's a different road.
If you look at Dennis Rodman and say, hey, man, this guy is going to give me some good financial advice,
no, that's
and your
true.
Account is hurting, then you know what? The market is working.
But the market is sort of surging a little bit with the news that Facebook's entering the marketplace of cryptocurrency. That's huge. Whenever Facebook gets involved with its, you know, with its amount of users and its money behind it and its backing, people take notice.
They do. They do. And, you know, you're obviously going to get the retail guy that's going to pop in there every time you hear some news. But, you know, what we're always looking at is there anything behind this? And, for instance, what is Facebook going to try to do? And the average retail person, isn't something they're even going to be able to get into unless they have $10 million and, you know, a phone book with someone or a phone number at someone at Facebook. So
what is Facebook doing though? I mean, what are they? They're building their own blockchain.
So what they are is they're building their whole ecosystem. They're building everything. They have the thing that got everyone's attention was the actual coin, because this is a buzzword, and you know everyone wants to pump up to their stockholders a buzzword. Mm-hmm. But they're building the ecosystem behind it, and in essence, what we're really seeing in this project is they're looking to be a different reserve system. Just think of, instead of the Federal Reserve, you have the Facebook Reserve. With this coin functioning
like
as a currency.
Yeah, they're going to get their own army next. Okay, go ahead.
Hey,
yeah.
Listen, I didn't say these guys were, you know, Mother Teresa
nukes?
Over there running.
Do we get Facebook
here,
nukes?
Charity, you know,
no, we know.
It's well documented.
Yes, I get the sense of exactly what's going on over there. And I've seen the movie.
Exactly.
But so they want to build an ecosystem so that eventually Facebook will become its own economic
powerhouse.
Commerce site as well. They want to be able to sell, don't they? I mean, isn't this part of it?
They want everything to be conducted in their currency. You know, when they want the idea, Libra, what they're calling it. They want the idea, instead of you sending $5, you send five Libras. And then if you're in England, instead of £5, you're five Libras.
Right.
And it's all reserve currency. It's going to be one-to-one with whatever the native currency is. But they want to be back in it, because they're going to take this money, do the same thing the Federal Reserve does, buy some interest rate thing and make their interest money or smaller amounts of money off of this. But in essence, they want everyone to use their ecosystem. So they're going to give you the software for this and everything else that comes along with this.
Right. But you know, the interesting part is that they're acting as if there's a benevolent sort of reasoning behind this, that there are 2 billion people around the world who don't have access to bank accounts and credit cards, and that those people need a way to conduct commerce. So Facebook's going to step in on the white horse and allow this to be the answer to that. But I think the big issue, and the reason the Senate is taking notice, is that they're also been known to not handle our data in a way that they should be, and this privacy concerns, and that what's more valuable than financial data, and all of, aside from what your friends want to do in their personal time, this is your most sensitive data, and how important and invaluable will it be to be able to sell that, your buying trends, to advertisers and third parties without you knowing about it? I think there's already a lot of concern about them being a player in this space.
And rightfully so. I mean, just given their track history, you also have to look at them and see their intentions and see where are they coming from. As far as the model they're looking at, you know, we're still digging into it. I mean, the idea that without getting too into it, there's 100 different nodes, which are control centers for these things, and they in essence are going to control the system, and they say they're only going to control one, and they rolled out all those partners where you saw Visa, MasterCard, and they're each going to control one. Mm-hmm. I think they've not announced something like 40 of them. You know, the idea is that they
so
are going
to be able to go through Visa or MasterCard. Sorry for interrupting, but I'm just trying to understand. Okay. This so you'd be able to use your Visa or your MasterCard to convert your dollars to Libra.
Not quite. What Visa, MasterCard in this situation are going to control certain nodes, and maybe they're going to build applications themselves using this language, and that could happen.
Oh, I see.
The node controllers are going to use them.
So it's just a whole new ecosystem.
It's a whole new ecosystem. They have a whole new programming language. They have a whole new governing system based in Geneva to deal with some of these issues.
Geneva, Illinois, or Switzerland?
Geneva.
Now, you mentioned something earlier that I thought was really interesting. Is that the right now they're coupling the currency, so one for one. So in the United States, like you said, a dollar would be a Libra, a euro would be a Libra, you know, as you move around, right?
Correct.
Now, if they were to decouple that from the native currency, they could actually crash smaller, weaker currencies once they get big enough.
That they very well could.
Yes. Doesn't that seem like a
like
problem?
That.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, with the downside.
Are you asking me to defense Facebook?
No. What I'm saying is that that's one of those things. You know, when people go, well, what's the big deal? The next question is when they choose to, because, you know, they'll choose to decouple from that, and the Libra will have its own value. It'll have its intrinsic value. Mm-hmm. And then when that intrinsic value is, you know, it can crush. Now, the American dollar would be hard to crush, and the euro probably would be hard to crush. Sterling probably hard to crush. But I could just, you know, imagine the Argentinian peso taking it right in the keister, right? So, you know, what happens there? And that's where then all of a sudden they, you know, they become their own banking thing. And again, you know, we talk about this, and I would love to get your thought on this too, is in terms of breaking up Facebook or breaking up Google or breaking up, because I mean, obviously you're in the cryptocurrency world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at this, Brian, and you think, all right, you know, you're sort of I don't want to say an arbitrager, but you're a guy that's looking at all these different cryptocurrencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for it and it you know, the ones that are performing better than others, and what are they doing, and what's the blockchain technology, are they coupling those together, how big does this get? I mean, it's a whole new emerging world, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us. So should we be breaking up the big players?
I you know, as a corporate, I mean, my personal belief is yes. I mean, just with a corporate structure, just as a matter of philosophy, yes, I believe so. And how it ties into cryptocurrency, I mean, the reality of the situation, I think what people are understanding now when they're really understanding when they're getting past the words, it's just another new technology. And anytime you have technology, we as humans, as societies, as the optimistic part of us always thinks this technology is going to come and solve all our past problems, right?
Right.
But in essence, you know, we as humans are going to have to take this technology and decide, are we going to, you know, take the best parts of this and enhance what we do best and maybe improve what we don't do best, or maybe make some money off of this, or like you say, crush some small economies to boost our share prices, or maybe do a PR stunt to get Congress off our back for data breaches we've had.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of other things, and you know,
a PR stunt though, is it? Because they're investing.
It isn't. I don't see it as a PR stunt, more as a survival tactic, because you're talking about a company who has survived and become profitable with the one commodity is your data.
Right.
Which is not going to be a tenable solution or a tenable game plan going forward with all the negative press. You
right.
Know, the
certainly not the way they were handling in the past is not the strategy moving forward.
Exactly. So now they don't have the data that they can sell. What do they have other than the data if they can't sell? It's the users. So how do we leverage our users? So this is a survival something. They're seeing blockchain. They're seeing something that may work. It may not for Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the breaking up the companies, I'm right there with you, Ro.
Let me ask you another big picture question. It's unregulated cryptocurrency by its very nature, but you look at the U.S. Banking Committee, the Senate Committee, is now calling Facebook in to say, hey, what do you got planned here? What is this crypto? It feels as if there is this pressure on politicians to say, let's regulate this. Do you see that as part of the future, that governments around the world will try to intervene and regulate as they do banks?
I do. I mean, first of all, as anytime you see money flow to somebody, you're going to see the government chase after this to get their tax dollars and to make sure. And national security, I mean, you have other concerns whether stuff are being funded and where's the source of funds. So you're going to get that in there. But with the cryptocurrency, we also have to keep in mind, because people are saying cryptocurrency and using all the same buzzwords, not all these solutions that we're seeing are what we would consider this decentralized platform. They're very closed networks, very controlled. Even this Facebook thing that they're talking about, it's a small collective of 100 nodes, and they're, you know, deciding who's going to be able to buy them, and it's going to be how they're even going to act is very regulated. So they're not acting like a decentralized organization
yet.
So,
but it's regulated,
they want to have the benefits
Facebook
and say, hey, stay away from us, government. This
is tech, but we can control the tech
and the IP and everything with this and the code. And so you can't have your cake and eat it.
No.
I'll, defend decentralized, but
as a guy who works in, you know, this is your job is to understand all of this. This code, is it revolutionarily different, or is it just sort of an add-on? Is it the sort of thing that would be a game changer that could turn Jeffrey Zuckerberg from t-shirt wearing geek into Bond villain?
You know, I think that a lot of the old actors are probably just going to get richer. That's usually how technology is going. You know, but it's going to be a big player going on. And when this technology is really going to hang on when you don't realize it's happening. Okay, when your database has switched over to crypto, you know, Visa is one of these partners. You know, they may have an internal network where they're going
to
switch
to blockchain, right? I mean, can we call it blockchain as opposed to crypto, or is it the same? Do you think?
I mean, if you're using your token to spend something, then it's a currency,
right?
I mean, that's where it's coming. I mean, the
but if it's creating a security for you, or it's creating a pathway, because blockchain is basically a proprietary.
We have some companies that come and work for us, and they just want to file their inventory. And their inventory is a little bit complicated, and they're just using the technology for this.
Right.
And this unit is just only measuring their inventory. But if they wanted to, for whatever reason, sell it, then someone would call the currency, but the underlying technology is the same thing.
Okay.
So we're talking about technology over here. It is kind of confusing, and like a lot of this is just new words, right?
Right.
You hear blockchain, and it doesn't really mean anything. It's a compound word, but you know, really, it's just
blockchain.
Blockchain.
Yes, that
blockchain,
is exactly what it is.
You say that again, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if we make a nursery rhyme for little kids.
it's confusing because the idea is that wasn't the blockchain originally designed as just a way to secure data, right? Wasn't that the original intent of it? And then and now it is not just securing the data, it's creating proprietary data. You know,
the first general, like, you know, we've had blockchain has existed since, most people don't know this, I mean, several decades as a technology. But what we're seeing, the recent trend is when Bitcoin has been brought out. Bitcoin is the first mm-hmm. blockchain that was decentralized. All the other blockchains were centralized networks. Like you said, to control some data, but it's in the centralized. So
right.
The idea of decentralization was used with Bitcoin, which happened to be a cryptocurrency. So the first use case of sharing databases was to share a ledger to balance. It could have easily been to track medical supplies, and everyone would have been like, oh, okay, so this technology that tracks supplies, this logistics thing. It just happened to be the first one, so it's imprinted on everyone's mind, and the only time it's reached anyone's consciousness is a big wild price fluctuations, right?
Yes, right.
It's crossed 1,000, it's crossed 5,000,
right.
19, then people... Oh, you talk to a guy in the barbecue, hey, I bought some Bitcoin, then you go out there and buy it for 19K, and then Rokan's yelling
Kevin!
At me right when we come
Kevin,
in.
How's your 401k? How's the 401k doing?
Struggling a bit.
I
hear this story everywhere. I go,
I'm
hey,
sure,
man, Brian,
I
lost all my money in Bitcoin. Oh, I'm sorry. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. But it's here to stay, is your point.
Yeah, it is. It's a technology. It's definitely here to stay. I mean, it has, you know, I was just out there in New York, and we had this big convention. Consensus is the one that we go to annually. And you know, a couple of years ago, it was a guy in the basement with his startup. And now Microsoft, IBM, Deloitte, all the guys, everybody in there is the same players in there. It's not here to come. It's just whether or not, you know, your bank switches over, or your processor, or your, you know, grocery store switches over. You're not going to know if you're a grocery store. You don't. What software is your grocery store using right now to check your food? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's very true. And I think Brian, you made it. You articulated it perfectly to balance a ledger. Because ultimately, you could decouple from any currency you wanted to.
Exactly.
You're using that blockchain technology in dollars, but you can decouple that and call it whatever you want, Robux.
Exactly.
I think I'll just call it Robux.
Chuck E. Cheese, right? They had tokens. You know, people never really had a hard time with that concept.
Those were great.
Yeah, you know what? It turns out you can't buy much with those.
I didn't do very well. That was horrible on my Chuck E. Cheese list.
Yeah.
Well, and then you bring them home thinking you'll use them the next time, but you always lost them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, so then you can take them
money.
In, and then you're like, I don't know how many troll-free pens can I get? That's not, I mean, it really is.
Well, I don't know. Is that company still around? Maybe they might be launching their digital coin.
They've had a couple of other issues, as it turns out.
Kevin, look into that. You might want to invest.
Kevin, I'm taking notes.
Chuck E. Cheese. Pound it, Kevin. Pound it.
Oh, no.
All right. Brian Amoa has been our guest. Thank you so much. Managing partner at Chicago Crypto Capital. That's chicagocryptocapital.com. You can learn more there. And again, these are the guys who are looking at the entire crypto marketplace and giving you ideas about the things that are working and things that aren't. They have their own. You have your own proprietary products too.
Yeah, yeah. We work. We have our partners. We have a whole suite of options that, you know, the people can use if they're trying to get on the blockchain, or they're really trying to see if this is something that makes sense for them.
Okay, so graphics cards. You sell graphics cards over there?
No, we don't.
You know, that was a funny thing a couple of years ago. I had to go in and get a graphics card for something, and that was right at the top of the
mining,
heat of this,
the mining
heat. You couldn't. The graphics cards, it used to be $59, were $259, and they were behind, like, cages at the Best Buy, right? Because they didn't
and
want.
You just had the video game guy raging at you in the lines,
right,
saying, "Hey, you know, I need this to play my."
Exactly. That's what I need it for. I need it for a video game. And the next thing you know, this and they're like, "Oh no, we're gonna mine with this." Like, you're not gonna mine crap. Get a pickaxe if you want to mine something. Coal's coming back, pal. That was 2016. All right, I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you so much for being
with us.
Thanks
for putting up with us.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?